Here's an interesting Patmos Report Bible study that might concern you. Whose names are in the Book of Life? Interestingly, many have thought the Book of Life is a list of everyone who ever lived, and if one got saved along the way, their name was kept in the Book of Life. And if one didn't get saved along the way, their name was blotted out of the Book of Life. However, you might think differently after looking up the scriptures referred to in this section and notice, 1, the saved will not have their names blotted out of the Book of Life, Revelation 3:5. 2, the unsaved do not have their names blotted out of the Book of Life because they were never in the Book of Life to begin with. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Number 3, those who tamper with the book of Revelation, or any scripture, confirm they have no part in the Book of Life in the first place. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. There are 8 references to the Book of Life in Scripture, and the first is mentioned by the Apostle Paul. And I quote, "And I entreated thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the Book of Life." That's in Philippians 4:3. The 7 other references are in the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Number 1, Revelation 3:5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Importantly, this verse is not a conditional promise to those who overcome because they will not have their names blotted out of the book, period. Who are they that overcome anyway? "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." That's in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. In other words, the overcomers are the saved, the born-again sons of God. That's you too, girls. But your Heavenly Father is not like Santa Claus, making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. And then, if you've been naughty, he blots you out of the Book of Life. However, one can see if you're in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world, you're in for keeps. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 6. Number 2, Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," meaning Satan, "whose names are not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So, if you are out of the Book of Life from the foundation of the world as a worshiper of the beast, then you're out for keeps. Do you see or hear it in this verse? The unsaved are not blotted out of the Book of Life because they were never in it in the first place. Do the math. and you'll calculate some are predestined to an eternity with God, and others are predestined to an eternity without God. And the latter, because of their created purpose, will worship the beast one way or another in whatever likeness he presents himself, in person, or image, or mark, or name, or number, or all of them at the same time. You may ask, why are some predestined to an eternity without God? It's simple. They are vessels intended by the Lord as part of his plan on earth, even as sewer pipes play a part in a king's palace, but are not given any honor. And so the devil is in the details by God's design and accompanied by a host of devils to assist in dishonorable work. And like toilet paper, after it is used, Satan and his bunch of bums will be tossed in the commodious eternal lake of fire after they serve the Lord's purpose. You may ask, what constitutes worshiping the beast? Answer, the act of paying divine honors to someone or something other than God, the giving of homage and religious exercises consisting of adoration, confession, and prayer, and the pledging of allegiance and giving of thanks and reverence to such a one or thing with supreme respect and veneration. That was a boiled down composite definition by the author, me. Number 3, Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and is yet. Again, those whose names were not written in the book of life cannot be blotted out, having never been there in the first place. These reprobates wonder and marvel, as they have throughout time, at the resurgent of beastly anti-God governments, the likes of Babel, Babylonia, as in Iraq, Egypt, Persia, as in Iran, Greece, Rome, and the European Union, to name some. Revelation chapter 13, 3. Their hope is not in the kingdom of God, but in the kingdoms of this world based on hubrism. Unfortunately, I did not coin this word from the root word hubris, though lexicographers have not added it to dictionaries yet. Hubrism, the practice, system, and philosophy of exaggerated pride or self-confidence. Maybe that's the same as BS. And anyway, I hope I pronounced those two words okay, because I can write them down a lot easier than I can speak them. Hubrism and lexicographers. Number 4, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Evidently, there are other books used by the Almighty in his capacity as judge to point out felonious capital crimes against the truth. And what are they? Here are some suggestions. The books, known as the Torah to the Jews, the Pentateuch in English, are the first 5 books of Moses, known also as the Law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, We might call them the Lord's Library. And like any judge on earth, the law books are used to judge those on trial by standards that already exist. Of course, no one can measure up to the standards of the law except those who have had their sins forgiven and forgotten by the Lord Jesus Christ and are now without offense. Daniel had a prophetic vision about this. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. And that's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. And still, there is another book in the Lord's library called a Book of Remembrance, and your tears are actually recorded there or in another volume. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Psalm 56, 8. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Malachi 3:16. So, if we could read our entries in the Lord's book of remembrances, how many and how long would they be? On the other hand, the unsaved don't have any good thoughts and comments to enter in because they do not personally know the Lord. How can they, as they do not have his name written in their foreheads where their conscious thoughts reside? However, the Lord's name is written in the foreheads of all believers, besides the 144,000 found in Revelation chapter 14, verses 3 through 5, as noted in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. Come to think about it, maybe you should remember to think and talk about the Lord by writing down a favorite verse of Scripture on a birthday card, in your daily log, blog, or diary, when producing a vlog, or writing your book of remembrances about the Lord who saved you. Do I hear an amen? And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's in John chapter 21, verse 25. Also, in regards to the book of remembrance, it may be used for evidence at the trial of those who did not fear the Lord, but spoke or thought blasphemously about him. And after their judgment is met, they will be blotted out of God's book of remembrance, and consequently blotted out of the Lord's mind forever. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Exodus 32:33. Yes, they are erased from God's memory, even as he directed the Hebrews to judge, kill, and erase their enemies from their minds. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Deuteronomy 25:19. To put it plainly, the Hebrews were to annihilate Amalek and not remember them any longer. God also emphasizing not to forget to do it. And believe me, the Lord won't forget to erase the names and memories of his enemies from his book of remembrance, though they were in there at one time. This is in the same sort of way the Lord removes the memory of believers' sins when they are saved and born again. Number 5, Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's some more fuel added to the flames in regards to those never written in the book of life in the first place from the beginning of creation. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. John chapter 6, verse 64. Number 6, Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The question is, if you are written into the book of life, can you be taken out and put back again and again and again and again like a revolving salvation door? Many religions use this method to keep their pew potatoes happy and saved as they listen to ear-tickling pontiffs, priests, and pastors. This reminds me of the young Roman Catholic man who boasted, "I like my religion because I can do anything I like all week and then go to church on Sunday and have the priest forgive me of my sins." It also reminds me of the fellow that thought I was a good person because I was a street evangelist and suggested I should join the Roman Catholic Church and added, "After all, 1 billion Catholics can't be wrong, can they?" Of course, the answer to that one is, yep. Number 7, Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from things which are written in this book. Remembering back many years ago, while wandering in a Target discount store as a new Christian, I stopped in the book department to see if they had any Reader's Digest condensed Bibles. And sure enough, they did. And this verse had been purged, and probably to the eternal damnation of the persons and company responsible. Of course, they could not leave the verse in owing to a news article about their condensed Bible, which stated, "Editors at Reader's Digest cut hundreds of thousands of words to shape the latest condensed version of a bestseller. After removing 320,000 words, they rested and brought forth the Reader's Digest Bible. Their condensed version, which took 8 editors 7 years to finish, is 40% shorter than the common Revised Standard Version, which runs 800,000 words. That's from the United Press International, September 20th, 1982. Oh well, no matter how you slice it, what uncut portions remained in their condensed version of the Bible still have supernatural qualities we can count on. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. By the way, the Revelation 22:19 verse under scrutiny doesn't say the offender's name will be taken out of the book of life. Rather, his part will be taken out of the book of life. And in our present real life drama on earth, it can be likened to a stage where every man must play a part, and some of the parts are evil. Even though Judas Iscariot played a part in the ministry of God's church as an apostle and treasurer, he was a devil at the same time. Judas's part was taken out, the part of a devil. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? The Lord Jesus said that in John chapter 6, verse 70. Finally, may it be suggested, if you are in the book of life, you must certainly enjoy reading the uncorrupted scriptures, which are authored by the Word of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. How could one not appreciate and love it, as He is the author and finisher of our faith, the one who bought us, saved us, washed us in His blood, and blessed us with eternal blessings, and the one we are seated with right now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 6. So, are you ready to meet the Lord? And if you are, be comforted to know you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ in you, and you have been one with Him since the day you were born again into His kingdom. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus loves you so much, He penned you into His book of life before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving our souls. Help us to live for You only. Amen. And so, always remember, God loves you. Read your Bible. The truth is in there, or the truth you're trying to avoid. Maranatha!